We're very blessed this morning to have this is a very special opportunity in the life of a church and ministry. We are here today as part of our worship service, a large part of it, to ordain Pastor Dennis Moeller. Dennis has been with us on staff for, 6 years? But Dennis and Susie and their family have been part of our church ministry and school. I know Susie said she's been on staff for 27 years. Wow. A lot of years and a lot of hats worn. And they both have served in so many different capacities. Dennis came to me a few weeks ago and said, the way things have gone, the Conservative Baptists have said that and I was at his pre-ordination council. They said, now's the time when you can actually, we're changing things. You don't have to have another ordination council. One grilling is enough. Do you think that was fair, Israel? Israel had to go through two, but he objected to all of this. No, he didn't really. But the Conservative Baptist in Southern California said, now this is the way we're doing this, and we're just delighted to recommend to your church that you follow through with ordination. And Dennis said, well, it'd be great to do this in the same year that Susie got her doctorate. So we've got these titles that go with these dear people of great and deep commitment to the Lord's work. I want to begin with this question. So what is the purpose of ordination? What's the purpose of ordination? And I just wrote down just a few little thoughts. Ordination is the recognition of the calling and giftedness of someone who is serving the Lord. It's a recognition that God has called this person and gifted him. I think of these words in Ephesians chapter 4. It doesn't specifically talk about ordination, but it does talk about people whom God has ordained to have an impact on the church, people that he has gifted in certain specific ways. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it was he, God, who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people, not to do it all themselves, but to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the full knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Gifted people God has given to the church to engage the church in real important ministry. Dennis has been serving over the last 6 years as the pastor of administration. And I remember a number of years ago when Dennis and I were coming home on a Saturday night from the men's retreat up at Pine Summit. And Dennis was sharing with me some of his desires and goals in terms of his life direction. And again, he's had so many different experiences in life, tremendous life experiences. But he said, what I really would like to be and do, I think I'm gifted to be in support ministry. And he's done this in missions, and he's done this here in our church, equipping people and engaging people in support ministry, a critical thing in terms of involving other people in ministry. Well, ordination itself comes about after someone who's been in ministry and they seek the affirmation of their local church as one who has been ordained by God to this work. Ordination also serves as an ecclesiastical, that means church, a church-wide recognition in his other relationships to people outside of this church as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our procedure, by our tradition, involves that the candidate for ordination Request a counsel from other ordained ministers in our area, during which his call to ministry and his grasp of theological truths and doctrines are examined by that counsel. And Dennis did that, and he did a very, very fine job as he laid out his doctrinal beliefs and then defended those in front of these people who are likewise seasoned ordained ministers. In Dennis's case, he met with that council of pastoral peers and presented his calling by God to be a follower of Christ, his calling in terms of ministry, why he believes that he's been called to ministry, and his doctrinal beliefs in written form. And after that time of interaction and practical questions, the council recommended to Pastor Moeller and to Calvary Baptist Church of Whittier that we proceed gladly with his ordination. And this is just an absolute highlight in the life of a church. Pastor Israel, come on up and you give a challenge to your brother and fellow pastor, Pastor Dennis.
Well, brother, it's an exciting day, and I'm very happy for you and on this occasion, and it's a very happy time for our church as well. So, a challenge to you, my brother in Christ, and fellow pastor, some things that you know and are aware of, but to further encourage you, the kind of encouragement that you will need to remind yourself of daily, minute by minute at times. You see, when you were examined, why was it that examination of your life and doctrine is so important? Well, it relates very much to the words of Paul the Apostle in 1 Timothy when he basically answers this type of question of how is it that the minister, that the servant of God, saves himself and his hearers? It is by looking closely at his doctrine and his life. This is what it says. In chapter 4 of verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So it is life and doctrine. It is your attitudes. It is your views. It is your inner heart. And they are extremely important. So how do you know, Dennis, if you're doing a good job? Let me lay these things out that Paul lays out for us, dear brother. Number one, he says this, Dennis, you are to put good doctrine before the people of God. And this is the proof of being a good servant. In verse 6, he says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Now, certainly, there's job description and there is the vision or the mission that you are given by your boss and complying with those things. But if you want to know if you're doing a good job, then put good doctrine before the people of God. Number two, train yourself for godliness. In verse 7, it says this, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Now, I don't know all the silly myths of Paul's day, but there must have been a bunch. And there are a lot of silly myths in our own day. And we could learn every one of them and waste our time with every little detail and nuance of their craziness and silliness, but he says, have nothing to do with irreverent silliness, but rather train yourself. Give your time and your effort for godliness. And you know what this means, Dennis? It means to evaluate your thoughts, to evaluate your feelings, to evaluate your attitudes, brother. This is your vocation. To constantly take a look at yourself, to train yourself for godliness. In verse 8, he alludes to physical exercise and it having a limited value. And I want to read it and explain it. It says this: "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." And I would say this: it is important for you, brother, to take care of yourself physically. Some of our translations almost speak too harshly, as if bodily training has no significance, but he actually says that it has like a limited significance. And that significance is for this life, because in the life to come, exercise, I don't see the need. But in this life, we know we need it. For the heart to work, for the body to be healthy, to preach with all of our heart, to be able to serve people with all of our strength, we have to eat, and we have to rest, and we have to do some exercise. So I say, take care of yourself, but above all, train yourself in godliness, in your attitudes, and your feelings. Number three, keep a Godward focus. And this comes from verse 10. "For to this end we toil and strive." We agonize over this. "Because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." Keep a Godward focus. Do not forget this focus, dear brother. And there will be plenty of moments and days when it will be easy to forget a Godward focus. But our people need a Godward focus. And you and I and you, brother, you need to continually pursue a Godward focus, because there will be days when the critics will come and you will need a Godward focus. There will be days when the enemy will come and you will need a Godward focus. There will be days to protect the sheep and you will certainly need a Godward focus. There will be days when you will feel the burden of the church, and it will feel far worse than Bilbo Baggins could have ever imagined, bearing the ring, the burden of the church for God's people. Number four, be an example to others in these five things: in speech and in conduct, in love and faith and purity. This comes out of verse 12. "Let no one despise you for your youth." But you haven't heard that in a while. We're young men though, right, Dennis? We're young in heart, young in mind. I know you're not a young man. You're an experienced man. And yet, he says this: "But set the believers an example, no matter what your age is, as a follower of Jesus, but as a pastor, to be an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Number five, take every opportunity to point others to the scriptures. In verse 13, it says this: "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." Now I know that you love to do this. You wouldn't want to be ordained if you didn't love to do this. If you didn't wake up thinking of doing something like that, or if you didn't hear someone say something to you and think, "Oh, I'd really like to, you know what, can I take a moment and just talk to you about this idea?" And because you want to point people to this. And I encourage you, take every opportunity you have to point others to the scriptures and to what God has to say. Number six, do not deny what God has given you and the gifts that he has given you. So this comes out of verse 14. "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." Dennis, you and I both know you're a teacher. You know what? For every pastor, though, the struggle will come: if only I was like him, if only I was like her, if only I could think like him. Everyone in every vocation has those types of struggles. But the key for you is that you do not deny the gift that God has given you. Very strong language here. Do not deny the gift. So evaluating, knowing that gift, and being committed to it and embracing the gifts that God has given you. Be you and don't try to be anyone else with the gifts that God has given you to use. Number seven, devote yourself to all of this. This is the vocation, to devoting yourself to this godliness, to your life, and to your doctrine, which are big, massive areas for the man of God. Verse 15, this is where it says, practice these things, devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. And number 8, watch your life, your inner life, and your doctrine. It will confirm your own salvation and the salvation of your listeners. This is what it says. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your listeners. Now, there will be a day. Well, there are so many things that you will wish you could have. When in the book of Philippians, Paul the Apostle, he talks about the things that he was, the power, the prestige he had at one point, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and then he says these amazing words. He says, I count it all as loss. At one point, he counted Christ as loss, but it was flipped around. For him, all of the power and the prestige became loss, and Christ was gain. Keep Christ as the gain of your life, and count everything else, every pursuit, every human endeavor as loss. Blessings, my brother.
Well, you know, these, I think as Israel said those things, Dennis is a very deep man of God, who internalizes these things. But, you know, these challenges that that Pastor Israel and I are giving today, they're much like what Paul said. To say these things to you is not a burden to me, but it's for our good that we be reminded of these truths. Well, now, Pastor Israel gave a charge and a challenge and words of encouragement to Dennis, and it's my responsibility this morning to give a charge and a challenge and a word of encouragement to our church, to our ministry. Let me say this, that for pastors, we have it very, very good to be involved with a ministry like this, because this is a wonderful church and broader church and school ministry. What a privilege it is to be involved in this. But I want to remind you of some things that Scripture tells the church, God's people, how they are to treat someone, this person that's being ordained, this person who is so committed to ministry. You take your Bibles out, would you please? And I want you to turn to this. If you don't have a Bible, you can use the Bible in the rack in front of you, and I'll give you the page numbers. First, to Hebrews chapter 13, the very end of the book, of this wonderful book, Hebrews chapter 13. Actually, Dennis just a while ago, a short time ago, finished a wonderful study in Hebrews. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it begins with this word that I think maybe it's been a long time since somebody used this first word on you, but it's this, obey. Nice word to start out with. It's pretty confrontive, isn't it? Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Obey and, say it with me, submit. This is page 1194. You can circle whichever word is more difficult for you, maybe both. Obey and submit. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Because they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. For what? For what they've communicated and what you've done with it. It's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy. Yes, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So, simple words are, if you were taking notes, and I purposely didn't put in a note sheet this morning, but I want you just to think about this. obey them and submit to their authority. In what ways are you going to be called upon to obey Dennis and submit to him? Well, Dennis is involved in this support ministry in so many ways. You know, all that mess that's out there right now? He's responsible for that. And he wants you, when he tells you to take home one of those big blocks of cement, obey him. No, I don't think he's going to ask you to do that, but he might sign one of those for you and you could take it home. But Dennis will be giving us all lots and lots of challenges. He's an excellent teacher, an excellent communicator of God's word. And he has a deep passion about the things that he teaches. And he stands in the place to communicate these things to us in many, many ways. Craig, is this on? Yep, I'm on. Good, thank you. I'm stepping aside because I want to soften this a little bit. Along the way, probably at least four times a year, Pastor Dennis Moeller will send all of us who've given any money at all to Calvary, given an offering to God here at Calvary, he'll send out a report. And sometimes Dennis words it the way he wants to word it, but he'll say, this is where we are with our budget, and this is where the budget was this, the offering is this, this is what you committed to on our House for All Seasons building fund. And he might say something like, you committed to this, you're at this point, you have this much to catch up. Well, that's insulting. Isn't that insulting for him to say that to you? God, I'm an adult. I don't need somebody to tell me if I'm falling behind. Let's read those words together, shall we? Verse 17 again. Obey your leaders and submit to them. So the question will be, in what ways, and we all need to ask this question about when Pastor Israel preaches next Sunday, the question will be, how are you, in what way will you and I submit to what he's sharing from God's word? When Dennis teaches, and he puts in hours into his teaching, he works hard every time he teaches in his classroom, whether he teaches in the pulpit, whether he teaches in a chapel, and God says, listen, and be responsive, obey, pretty strong word, and do something with what he's saying. And that do something is not crumple up that letter. Gah! I don't need to be reminded of my bills. It's not a bill. It's just a reminder. But that's one of the very, very, when Pastor Dennis says, we're going to have a work day here at church, what does that require from us? Come on! Come and help. Man, there is nothing quite like pitching in and helping other people do the work of the Lord. It's amazing. It's wonderful stuff. So Calvary, many of you along the way have been very, very responsive to Pastor Dennis Moeller. Continue to do that. Submit, obey. Why? Because he's keeping watch over your soul. I think about this, and this is just one of his responsibilities, one of his many, many responsibilities when he sends out that letter about the giving. You know what his primary objective is? It is not. I know his heart. His primary objective is not to get more money out of us. His primary objective goes much along with what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, yeah, I'm so thankful for your gift. This was just really great. You know, but I have learned to get along with or without this kind of stuff. But I want it to be credited to your account, not with the IRS. I want this to have an imprint, an impact on your soul. And so Pastor Dennis is watching out for our souls when he sends out a very practical message like that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're going from the back of the book to just forward a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 17 to 20. It says this, and Dennis is one of our leaders here. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worthy of double honor, extra honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. And the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. Pastor Dennis is worthy of the double honor because he really works hard at his preaching and teaching and at his leading. And I really appreciate it when the elders meet every Friday morning to pray. So very often, the elders, other elders, will give thanks for Pastor Dennis and all the amazing gifts that God has given him and the various things that he does in ministry. And they honor him even as they pray for him in his presence and when they're not in his presence. So the question would be for all of us, how are we showing honor to this man who is truly a man of God? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, page 1171. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 12. Paul says this, we ask you, brothers, verse 12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. So the challenge is, again, for you and for me, is how are we showing this man respect? How do we show him that we appreciate him? I think it's really a neat thing. Here at the school, we have a program called PEST. P-E-S-T. And it's, parents have committed themselves to be a pest for those on staff. Well, that's, yeah, I thank you, Mrs. Plug, for reminding me what the letters stand for. It's not that they're, man, those people are bugging me. PEST stands for parents, encouraging staff and teachers. And Dennis has had people pest him a lot more than anybody's pested me. Okay? But you know, his work really, really shows. And people will, there'll be a little gift basket or a note or a gift card that people will give Dennis. And the question would be for all of us, how are we showing Dennis our appreciation? And go ahead and do it. Don't wait for some special day. If you just look and see something that Dennis has done around here and all these changes that have taken place out in the gym and throughout the facility, go ahead and thank him and encourage him. Show respect for what he's done. One more thing. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, page 1155 in the Pew Bible. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. This is really, I can't tell you how vitally important this is. Galatians 6, verse 6. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Now, there's a case that some people will say we must share financially with our instructors. I suppose that's one very practical thing. But I'll tell you the thing that Pastor Dennis will appreciate more than anything. If Pastor Dennis has instructed you, if he's taught you, whether it's in his class, whether it's in his growth group that meets on Monday nights, or whether it's from this pulpit, anytime he's instructed you, what are you instructed to do? Share with him what God is teaching you as a result of his teaching. Now that's a pretty tall order. I remember, I'll tell you what it's not. I had this lady when I was, years ago, I was ordained in 1976. I was a youth pastor at that time. And I preached occasionally, and about 76 our pastor left, and I was the interim pastor then. And I had this little retired, little tiny, diminutive, different little lady come up to me at the door. And she shook my hand, and she said to me, "Congratulations on your speech." I thought I was going to get a grade, you know, from this retired teacher. You know, it's nice when people say, it is a nice thing when people say, "Great message." But it's probably even more significant when somebody says to the person who's taught or preached, "Wow, I needed that today. I came in discouraged, and I'm leaving just so encouraged," or, "Thanks, I needed that. I've been holding a grudge against this person," or, "Thanks, it was so important for me to be reminded who God is, because I felt kind of boxed in, and well, there was no hope. Thanks, I realize now I need to go home and write my sister a note and ask for her forgiveness. It was tough. There's a dear lady in this congregation who has said to a number of us who preach and teach, "Woof, I didn't like that message." And she said it as a real compliment, because her point was, you really got to me on that. Galatians 6, Paul had said some very, very difficult things throughout that letter to this church. And at the end, Paul says, make sure you share. Share everything that God's teaching you with those who teach you. It might take some thought, and it might take a little bit of courage, but Dennis is going to need that. Well, I'd like Dennis's family just to stand. I want you just to see them right here. You saw Susie earlier. She read, I just want you to see them. This is the impact of his life and this family who knows and loves the Lord. Thank you, guys. Now I want Dennis to come on up here. And I'd like the elders to join me up front right now. The elders, come on up. And just stand right here for a moment, Dennis. I'd like any ordained pastor. I asked some others to come on up. Dean, would you come on up as well? Any other ordained people here today? Okay. Dennis, I want you to kneel right now. And guys, this is a very, very holy moment, and I'd like us to pray and dedicate Dennis in this ministry. And Jim, I wonder if you would lead us in prayer.
Father, this is a holy moment in the sense that in Dennis's life, you've prepared him, you allowed him to acknowledge the gifts you've given him, and the desire to be officially ordained by you, by this congregation, by these leaders. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Dennis, that though he has the Holy Spirit in him, I pray that the Holy Spirit may fill his life in a new way, this instant, this morning, for ministry ahead. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his willingness to study, to teach, to challenge, to work quietly. Thank you for him. I pray that you may direct his life in new ways, as Israel gave a number of ideas from the Word for his future life and ministry. Father, bless him. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us, that indwells, and that gives fruit. And I pray that the fruit of Dennis's life from this day forward would be multiplied in his family, in his neighborhood, here in this community. Father, thank you for Dennis. Bless him. I pray this in the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's my privilege today to send us on our way with a benediction. Israel, thank you very much for those challenges. I realize that personally it's impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me. And then, of course, all of us, as Pastor John challenged all of us, it's impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So it's also our privilege to serve him. And I want to remind all of us that we are a priesthood of believers. And all of us working together can make an impact in this community. A couple of ways you can make an impact right away is by realizing it's year end. And even though we don't give in Uncle Sam's timeline, Uncle Sam does have a timeline. So if you're looking for the end of the year gift to get in and get in under this tax year, today's the day. Also, I do have a lot of 6-inch hunks of concrete out there that we weren't planning on. We didn't know they put 6 inches of concrete underneath the asphalt. If you want me to sign one, I'll gladly sign it and give it to you if you leave a donation. Thank you for your understanding as we go through all these construction things and the mess it creates. It'll meet the code and we'll end up with a nice parking spot out there. It's my privilege to serve you as a pastor. And I'd like to remind us from the book of Jude that in the end times, which my grandma believed she was in, I believe we're in, lines up with what Scripture says. The author says, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions in the world. They're devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.